Now we're joined by Rob Rang. He is the senior draft analyst for CBSSports.com. Rob joins us every year to talk about the draft. Rob, thanks for taking the time this morning. I appreciate it. John Schmelk here in New York. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, John, as always.
Hey, Rob, no worries, and thanks a lot for joining us. Well, let's get right to it, and I guess before we could talk about who the Giants might pick at 12, we need to figure out who's going to be on the board at 12, and that's really the trick of it. And I guess a big part of that, Rob, is how many quarterbacks are going to go here in the first 11 picks. So what are you seeing right now in terms of how those first 11 picks are going to go down in terms of what quarterbacks are going to be taken?
Well, I think we're having – With the NFL draft being pushed back a couple of weeks, we just have that much more time to talk about it, and it's that much more time to kind of conjure up reasons why quarterbacks might fall. But, you know, when it's all said and done, as you well know, you have to have a good quarterback to win in the NFL. And so I think when it's all said and done, you're still going to see these quarterbacks go. I personally believe that if somebody, quite possibly the Cleveland Browns, is going to take a flyer pick on Johnny Manziel. Blake Bortles, in my opinion, is the quarterback who has the highest upside of this draft.
I agree.
So I certainly believe that he's going to go up in that realm. And if that does happen, then I think that there's still a chance that the third quarterback goes. And in my opinion, that third quarterback is not going to be Teddy Bridgewater, who, by the way, happens to be my top-rated passer. I think it could be Derek Carr from Fresno State. He's the guy that has experience not only in a spread, that is obviously becoming more and more popular in today's NFL, but also a pro-style offense while at Fresno State. He led the country in passing touchdowns, led the country in passing yardage, and then went to the Senior Bowl and was dynamite there as well. So I can't remember the last time that we saw a quarterback that did all of those things and didn't go in the first round. So I think that the Giants, this could play exactly into the Giants' hands. There could be some very talented offensive and defensive linemen available to them at number 12, as well as the top-rated tight end.
Rob, I don't want to waste too much time on the quarterbacks here, but to me, I think insulting might be too strong of a word, but it's mind-boggling to me how Teddy Bridgewater's stock has fallen so much in NFL circles because of a pro day. Pro days, I mean, Blaine Gabbert had a great pro day. I mean, the guy had such a great year on film. I don't understand why people have overreacted so much to one pro day.
Well, I think when we talk about the pro day, then people unfortunately focus so much on, you know, just the lack of accuracy that he showed in that workout. And it's been well documented. He wasn't wearing the gloves. He had worn gloves throughout his career while at Louisville. So, but the other part of that pro day workout that really scared people off, and it scared anybody who's seen him in person, is just his build. I mean, this is a very slim build for a quarterback. I mean, I've had general managers I talked to who met with him privately, not only at the combine, but since, that say that when he walks into the room, you look at your paper, you think you're talking to a wide receiver.
Interesting.
You know, and so that's the biggest concern. It's the pro day workout wasn't so much about the lack of accuracy. It's just about when you actually see this kid without shoulder pads on, he is a very slim build. You can see why he might struggle with durability in the NFL.
All right, Rob, we're joined by Rob Rang, the head draft analyst for CBS Sports, an array of other things. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rob Rang. Mike Evans, Rob, how far has his stock risen here? Is there any chance that he could be there at number 12 when the Giants make their selection?
I think it's a very slim chance, but there is a chance if the quarterbacks start to go off the board. Now, I don't think that Mike Evans should be available. Frankly, I think he's a top 10 pick. I think he's one of the elite prospects in this draft. I believe there are six blue-chip prospects, the two receivers, Evans and Watkins, the two tackles, Jake Matthews, and, of course, Greg Robinson, and obviously the two pass rushers, Khalil Mack and then King Clowney.
Very interesting. So Evans probably not going to be there. How many tackles do you see off the board by the time the Giants pick at 12? Is Terrell Lewan going to be on the board, or do you think he's going to be gone with those other three?
I believe that Taylor Lewan does have a good chance of being available to the Giants. And if he is available, I really believe that he should be very much in the consideration to be their pick. This is a kid who is a very talented pass blocker. That, of course, is a huge area of concern for the Giants. You got to keep Eli Manning feeling good in that pocket. And I think that you'll see an incredible bounce-back season for him, just like we saw at the San Diego Chargers a year ago when they invested a similar pick in the right tackle, DJ Fluker. So I believe Taylor Lewan could be there just because I think that when it's all said and done, you're going to see teams go for the flashier positions this year as opposed to last year, when obviously offensive lineman went three of the first four picks.
How much is the Taylor Lewan off the field stuff, you know, the pending trial, the charges, all that stuff? How are NFL teams reacting to that? Are some teams taking him off their boards completely? How are teams viewing those off the field issues for Taylor Lewan?
Every team I've spoken to that has demonstrated some interest in Taylor Lewan basically feels that it's a non-story. It's an issue in terms of he is aggressive, and the aggression that you see on the field does carry off the field. He is known for getting some personal fouls and things of that nature on the field for his aggressive behavior. But this is more a situation of circumstance rather than something where he is a guy looking for trouble. So I have not heard of any team that's taken him off the board. And some teams have mentioned that they certainly have done their due diligence, but that they still expect him to be a player who goes in the top 15 to 20 picks, quite possibly in the top 12.
Now, one player, Rob, and we're joined by Rob Rang, senior draft analyst for CBSSports.com. And, Rob, one name that gets a lot of play here in New York is Eric Ebron. The Giants don't have a lot of experienced tight ends on the roster here. They need a playmaker on offense. What are the chances Ebron is there at 12? I know a lot of people think he might go to Buffalo at 9. And what type of player would the Giants be getting in Eric Ebron? Hey, Rob, it sounds like we're getting a little bit of a bad connection here. We're going to try to call you right back. It sounds like your line's cutting out. All right, we'll be rejoined by Rob Rang in just a second. We had a little dropped cell phone there. Hopefully that's not a bad sign, asking him if Eric Ebron's going to be there when the Giants pick at at 12. But we will get Rob back on the line in just a second. Victim of a bad cell phone there. You know, Rob's very busy. He's on the move. He's always up and about. So hopefully we'll try to get him back on the line here. But I thought it was very interesting how, Paul DeTino, when he was with us a few weeks ago, he really thought that a lot of teams were really nervous about Taylor Lewan and his off-the-field issues. But according to Rob, it really doesn't seem like a lot of these NFL teams are worried about the prospect of Lewan's off-the-field issues becoming a real long-term issue here. So I think that's a very important thing to keep in mind here moving forward as, the Giants decide who they want to pick. How much of an issue is that off-the-field stuff going to be for the Giants? Who do care about that sort of thing? They want to draft guys of high caliber and guys that aren't going to get in trouble and guys that represent the organization well. So I think that's a pretty important thing to look forward here as the Giants decide who to pick. But the other thing that Rob said I thought was interesting is that Mike Evans likely will not be there at number 12, which I think everyone kind of thought. He has Mike Evans right up there with Sammy Watkins and the two pass rushes, the two tackles, which I thought was very interesting. You got Clowney, you got Watkins, you got Mack and all those guys. So I thought that was very interesting. And now we do have Rob Ryan back with us from CBS Sports. And Rob, sorry about that. We had a little bit of a phone issue there. It looks like the Verizon gods are playing tricks with us. But we're asking you about Eric Ebron. Do you think he's going to be there at 12? And if he is, what type of player are the Giants getting?
I do believe that he's going to be there to the Giants at number 12. And I think that he absolutely should be in consideration. Again, he and Taylor Lewan, in my opinion, obviously the Michigan tackle, I believe that you're going to see them either go to the Buffalo Bills at number 9, as you mentioned, or slide down to the Giants at 12. They make sense for both clubs. With Eric Ebron, talking about the elite tight end prospect in the draft, obviously a player who is very similar to Vernon Davis, obviously stand out with San Francisco 49ers, elite athlete, very good quickness, can make people miss in the open field, can extend and make very difficult catch, and is competitive as a blocker. He's not quite as consistent as a blocker or as a pass catcher at this point as you'd like, but he has the raw tools that you're looking for, and then you must invest a high pick to get just because he can be a difference maker.
Yeah, I want to ask you specifically about his blocking, Rob, because that's something obviously the Giants usually demand of their tight ends. He didn't do it a ton in North Carolina, especially in his last couple of years, but you do believe that he has the physical toughness, the willingness to engage as a blocker and be effective in that regard at the NFL level?
I certainly believe that he has the physical toughness and the competitive spirit that you're looking for. Excuse me. to block at the NFL. He just, as you mentioned, wasn't asked to do it very often because he's such a dynamic receiver that it didn't make a great deal of sense while at North Carolina to take him away from what he does best. But obviously in the Giants' offense, with the way that they use their tight end, I do believe that that would be a little bit more of a focus, and he has shown the competitive spirit and the strength and the explosiveness, frankly, to be able to hold up in that regard.
And Aaron Donald, another guy that's kind of in the mix for the Giants at 12. They could use another pass rusher. How high is he jetting up boards? Is he considered a potential top 10 pick now, or do you think he will be there at 12 for the Giants?
You know, he's one of the wild cards. I mean, I could see him going as early as number 5 to the Oakland Raiders.
Wow.
Certainly number 10 to the Detroit Lions, and then as well with number 12. I mean, we've seen the Giants in the past that have been willing to fortify their pass rush over and over and over again, and it's a strategy, frankly, that I believe in as well. So if he is available to them at number 12, even more than Ebron, even more than Taylor Lewan, I believe that Aaron Donald is among the safer players in this draft. And while he isn't necessarily quite as big of a concern in terms of the need for defensive linemen, he may be in play just because of his spectacular play on the field and his sterling reputation off of it.
I'm going to play a little bit of a what-if game with you here, Rob, and I realize this scenario is unlikely, but I know some fans have asked me about it. Theoretically, at 12, if the Giants get up there and pick, and Lewan's off the board, Ebron's off the board, Donald off the board, Evans off the board, who is that next guy up in that next tier of prospects that you think would be a good fit for the Giants at number 12?
Well, I'm a big believer in Zach Martin, offensive lineman from Notre Dame, and he reminds me a little bit of Justin Pugh in that if he had a little bit longer arms and a little bit more of a prototypical tackle frame, then I think he'd be an easy top 10 pick. In fact, I have him rated higher personally than Taylor Lewan.
Wow.
But at the same time, he may be moved inside to guard, and that's going to limit his value in some people's eyes. I could see the Giants viewing Zach Martin as being the tackle that he proved himself to be while at Notre Dame, where he started a school record 52 games over his career. The other player that I would mention is the pass rusher Anthony Barr. Sure, he's raw, but he has unbelievable athletic ability for a guy at 6'5", 255 pounds. He does have the size to hold up as a defensive end. He just doesn't have the strength yet. But I think that if you put him in an NFL weight room, it's certainly going to take a year to really get him up to par. But just like the way that the Giants selected DeMontre Moore a year ago, I think that Anthony Barr would make some sense. Now, because of DeMontre Moore, Anthony Barr may not meet quite the sense for the Giants from a frontline perspective, but just considering the age and the depth of some of the Giants' other defensive linemen, always improving your depth at that position makes a great deal of sense in the first round. He certainly has first-round tools that you should be willing to gamble on.
We're joined by Rob Bryant from CBS Sports, their senior draft analyst. Rob, just want to look at the second round very quickly. Or depending on what the Giants do in the first, they could be in the market for a wide receiver or a tight end. Let's start tight end first. Of Troy Nicholas and Austin Seferian Jenkins, I'll even throw in C.J. Fedorowicz in that mix. Which one of those three guys do you like the best?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins is the best receiving tight end in this draft class. He's 6'6", 270 pounds. He goes up and gets the football like a wide receiver. That's just a phenomenal combination. But he's not necessarily as physical as a blocker as you'd expect for a player of that size. Now, Troy Nicholas, on the other hand, is very similarly sized, but is a fierce blocker at the point of attack. Doesn't have much in terms of speed or elusiveness after the catch, a little bit of a bull in a china closet. But at the same time, I love his toughness, and that's why I personally have him as the number 2 tight end in this draft class, behind only Ebron. I have Seferian Jenkins third, and C.J. Fedorowicz is a little bit of a combination of the two. I think that he might be available to the Giants and perhaps other clubs as well in the third round because he isn't an elite athlete, but he's a pro-style guy who is very successful at the point of attack as a blocker, catches the ball well, just isn't a dynamic athlete. But I love the fact that he came back for his senior season and had a strong week of practice as well as the game itself at the Senior Bowl. And the Giants have shown a preference for players that do well in that capacity.
Rob, we all know how deep this wide receiver class is. That also means it's a bit of a mess, and you don't know who's going to be there, who's going to go in that second and third tier of wide receivers. At the Giants position in the second round. I'll even ask you in the third round, too. What are some wide receivers you think might be there with those two picks that you think would be good fits and also where the Giants would get some good value?
Well, you know, the Giants have looked for, you know, slot receivers and things of that nature, you know, the Victor Cruz and, you know, and guys like that who are such dynamic athletes, and that's where they've enjoyed, had a great deal of success. So if you're looking for a player like that, if durability concerns were somehow to push like a Marquise Lee into the second round, he'd make some sense. Jarvis Landry from LSU, you know, it's kind of the exact opposite. He's a guy that didn't run very well during workouts, but you put the tape on, and he's such a reliable route runner, catches the ball cleanly with his hands, that he is a guy that makes a sense. And I believe is pro-ready after coming from LSU and former NFL head coach Cam Cameron's offense to be able to step in and play immediately. If you're looking for a little bit more of a not necessarily a diamond in the rough, but a guy that needs some development but has very exciting twos, here's two of them. Martavis Bryant from Clemson. Sammy Watkins got all the attention, but 6'4", 210 pounds, Bryant is a phenomenal athlete. He's going to, you know, ran in the 4.4s, really can go up and get the ball. So more of that Plaxico Burress type of talent and a guy you can mold and project in the future. And then if you're looking for a little guy who can do some things and make people miss in the open field, then Bruce Ellington from South Carolina is a receiver that I don't believe is getting enough attention. He's a little bit more in that Percy Harvin, Steve Smith mold, and a guy that is physical, is incredibly athletic, can make people miss, and is absolutely lightning with the way his first step acceleration.
Of the bigger down the field outside receiving threats, you mentioned Martavis Bryant. I'll throw Dante Moncrief in there. I'll throw Jordan Matthews in there. I'll throw the Coleman kid out of Rutgers in there. And anybody else that you think fits that, you know, more of the Plaxico Burress-esque type of receiver, who do you like in that group, and who do you think might be a good fit for the Giants?
Well, you just mentioned a bunch of them right there. You know, I'm a big fan of Dante Moncrief.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, he's a kid that, you know, I rated as a first round player coming into his junior season, and then unfortunately he wasn't nearly as productive as a junior as he was as a sophomore. But you see all the physical ability, and then he was absolutely lights out at the combine, which I love. Showed off that athletic ability, 6'2", 221 pounds, 4.40. Seconds in the 40-yard dash, also explosive in the leaps, catches the ball well. He's just a really good football player that unfortunately hasn't got enough attention. Jordan Matthews, frankly, his workout showed athletic ability that I didn't believe that he'd shown on tape. Now, he's a very productive player against, obviously, SEC competition, but I think that he might be a little bit overrated, frankly, because I just don't see that same athletic ability. But again, a guy who has been productive, against SEC competition, I believe can walk into the NFL and be a productive player. I just don't see that he's an upper echelon standout at the next level as a number one target type. Whereas Dante Moncrief has that potential. Allen Robinson from Penn State, in my opinion, has that type of potential. It comes from, again, a West Coast offense under Bill O'Brien. And then you may mention Brandon Coleman from Rutgers. He's a guy I'm very intrigued by because of his size, but at the same time, I don't think he's the same caliber of athlete as the other two players you mentioned. Kelvin Benjamin from Florida State also, because he's so big, 6'6", just like Brandon Coleman, 6'5", 6'6", but they're not very quick. They're more red zone targets rather than true X receivers in the NFL, in my opinion.
Two more quickies for Rob Rang. Rob, interior offensive lineman, round three for the Giants. Who do you think would be there and who would be a good fit?
Let's see. Well, you know, I think that we're going to see an early run on the interior lineman. And so that's where we might see a bunch of the guys go off the board in the second round. I'm a big fan of Wes Richburg. In my opinion, he's the top center in this draft class from Colorado State. Marcus Martin from USC is another player that could be available to them in the top of the third round. It's not a great draft class in terms of interior offensive linemen. You might be looking at some of the small school players who have a very intriguing athletic ability, but don't necessarily or aren't necessarily going to be able to come in and compete at a high level immediately. Dakota Dozier is one who is very intriguing. Billy Turner from North Dakota State is another one who, again, had an impressive performance at the Senior Bowl.
And then finally, running back could be a third-day pick for the Giants here in round four. That'll probably take them out of the running for some of the top guys, the Hydes, the Jeremy Hills, and all that stuff. What's a sleeper running back that could be a day three pick that you think could make an impact in the NFL?
Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of running backs in this draft class. I think it's been mischaracterized as a weak class at running back. It doesn't have an elite guy that's going to go in the first round, but there are a number of players who I expect to go off the board. in the third to fourth round. I really am anticipating a heck of a run at that position. Devontae Freeman is a kid from Florida State who is a Ray Rice clone and isn't getting much attention. He's certainly a terrific player. If somehow Washington's Bishop Sankey is available, in my opinion, he might just be the best three-down running back in this draft class. Arizona's Kadeem Carey, unfortunately, ran very poorly during his workout, 4.70, but you watch him, and he runs with the toughness and physicality. It reminds me of a young Ahmad Bradshaw. So if he is available to the Giants in the fourth round, I think that he could prove to be an absolute steal as well. And he also catches the ball very well out of the backfield.
Rob, give me your prediction. Giants at 12. What happens?
I think it's going to come down to the tackle. I mean, I think that Taylor Lewan fits the need. I think that he is a very good player who is a top-10 prospect on a lot of people's boards. Eric Ebron makes some sense, but I think that you can come back and get a tight end who's a little bit more physical at the point of attack in the second round, perhaps the Troy Nicholas or a pass catcher like Austin Seferian Jenkins. So I will go with Taylor Lewan, the tackle from Michigan, as number 12 overall pick in this year's draft.
Rob, appreciate the time. Rob Rang, senior draft analyst from CBS Sports. We will catch up to you at the draft, my friend. I appreciate it. Great stuff as always.
Oh, thanks for having me on, John. Take care.
Great. Thank you, Rob. That's Rob Rang. We'll catch up to him again.